Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Cult of Gracie Radio, broadcasting on XXBN via Blog Talk Radio switchboard. XXBN broadcasts out of Raleigh, North Carolina, but the Cult of Gracie show with myself, Gracie Bissett, broadcast from Fargo, North Dakota. Tonight our guest is A.V. Phlox, and I believe she's calling in now. So we're going to turn her on. We're going to turn you on, A.V. Are you there?
Love it. Hi, Gracie. How are you?
Fine. I'm getting a little panicked there. I thought maybe you might have a problem getting in.
I had a little bit of a problem. Not too much.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're here now. We're live. We're on the air. And I was just getting ready to tell the folks that you have one of the strangest URLs to have to try to get out on the radio.
yes, I'll figure something out for that.
It's omgomfg.com. And every time I start to say it, I go, OMG, oh my. You start saying it. You know, you don't, you no longer use the letters as lingo for the texting kids. You start saying it. That could just be my age.
No, it's really interesting how we have replaced a lot of those words, especially profanity, with letters. We've kind of sanitized the language in a way.
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. When I stub my toe, I do not go for, you know, WTF. I scream. I use consonants and vowels and punctuation, and I believe that I extend the U for about 5 minutes. It could be a generation.
I think I'm with you on that.
Now, it's never polite to ask a lady her age, but I do believe that you are in your 20s, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Whenever I talk to you young kids, I always feel so very, very old. And I also feel like I'm so condescending because I remember fondly back, oh, no, I remember when my 20s were. But they were like, I thought I knew stuff and I didn't. So I try not to sound real condescending to you young kids, but if I do, just roll up a newspaper and smack me with it.
Oh, I believe I've made a career out of not knowing anything. I get a lot of crap for writing blogs where I basically don't say anything but quote everybody else talking about it. I say, well, yeah, that's what kind of what journalism's all about. You know, I don't have enough education to form an opinion, so I'm going to ask people that actually do know what they're talking about.
Now, that's an interesting statement. You don't think that you know enough to have an opinion?
About a lot of things? No, absolutely not.
Do you think one actually needs information to have an opinion as opposed to an educated decision?
I like to believe that I form my opinions with information as opposed to simply going along with the immediate reaction. It doesn't always turn out to be right.
I'm beginning to think that you're not American.
You're right.
Because, you know, in America... people have opinions. We have a God-given right to our opinions, and it doesn't matter how completely contrary they are to all evidence. We are entitled to that.
Oh, I do love this country for that, or I wouldn't be living here for so long.
Now, where are you originally from?
I was born in Peru. I was raised in the Northern Mariana Islands, which are 3 hours out of Japan, but it is a U.S. territory, meaning we speak English and use the dollar, but that's about where the similarities end.
So where you come from, people have opinions backed up by actual information. This is an interesting concept that could take the entire show.
Let's do it.
Well, one of the things my partner and I were struck with during this election was this concept of populist and about electing someone because you want to have a beer with them, or in the case of Sarah Palin, and I'll insert gag noise here, bang her, that would make, you know, I want to hang out with this person, so let's vote for them, which is really strange, but seems to be quite the American way.
I've noticed that. Well, that is also very much the Peruvian way. I don't think that differs very much from country to country. Although I was a little startled as a foreigner. You know, a lot of people have this idea of the United States being, because it is a world power, being largely educated. And like in Peru, the illiteracy rate is very, very high, and people are given, there's a lot of poverty, and they have a tendency to follow the more populist spouting candidate, I guess. So, you know, there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of ignorance. And a lot of people are struck when they see that this is actually similar in the United States as well. We have access to education, and most people are literate, and there is the internet, but there's still a lot of misinformation going around, and people have a tendency to not really do a lot of research. I was kind of struck by how many people on the day of the election were tweeting that they did not really know yet who they were going to vote for.
Yeah,
that blows my mind. People on Twitter.
I consider those people apathetic. Either they never had any intention of voting anyway, and don't vote, don't care, don't participate in the process, either because they're jaded or they just never have, for whatever reason, or they're just apathetic. Do some research, which today is really simple. I mean, you can hardly walk into a Denny's without a newspaper. There's the internet, and if you don't have it at home, you know, you go to the library, and it's there.
Right.
But they kept referring to these people as undecided, and it drove me crazy, because it's like, they're not undecided. They're apathetic, because they're, especially this election year, if you couldn't tell those candidates apart, I mean, not just the way they looked, but I mean, if you couldn't just get a page, you know, name an issue and get an idea. If you couldn't tell those people apart, there was no amount of information to be had that was going to make that distinction for you. It was simply an apathetic position.
Absolutely. It was very interesting when you could tell when people were being more involved, when, for example, the whole controversy with John McCain's ad came out where he's comparing Obama to celebrities, and Paris Hilton released her ad, then everybody started talking about it. But it was only because Paris Hilton had talked about it.
Yeah,
and I
don't think Paris Hilton should be a benchmark for anything other than perhaps parental disappointment.
Ouch.
You know? Well, you know, I got to think, you know, like her grandfather is probably not a fan. You know, he's rolling over in the old grave. And I can't imagine the parents who give her everything, you know, gave the daughters education and access, and they chose to spend it on fashion and nightclubs and sex tapes. It's kind of, you know, would you hand over your empire to that child?
Well, you have to recognize that there was a very big demand for that sex tape. So she is tapping into a demand.
Yeah, but does she need the money? I mean,
but she can run an empire on sex.
I don't know about that. I would disagree on that. It looks like we have a call already, AV, so we're going to go ahead and take this person, even though we haven't even really warmed up yet, but we'll see what they're up to. It looks like it's a Skype caller. You're on the air. Do you have a question for AV?
Yes, I do.
What is your name,
I'm calling about information regarding weblog advertising.
And your name is?
It's Howard.
Hi, Howard. And you have a question for AV about website advertising?
Yes.
Okay.
Hit me, Howard.
I was just wondering, what would you recommend for maximum SEO advertising?
You know, I recently had a blog post about this. I was tinkering with some ad networks, and I ran across a problem regarding my my domain name because it's full of profanity. So I really think that what you choose to do in terms of advertising has a lot to do with what you're actually doing on the internet. You know, whether you choose to go with an ad network or if you prefer to be sponsored, or most of the business that I get from my website is indirect, just people that see what I'm writing and are interested in ghost bloggers. I would have to have a little bit more information. But if you notice from my blog posts, as I said, I'm not an expert in this regard. I always show people the way to pro blogger. I think that Darren Rose is probably one of the best sources in terms of what you can do to make money with your blogging. His website is problogger.net, P-R-O-B-L-O-G-G-E-R.net.
Okay.
He's extremely valuable source of information. I probably
would
not know.
What kind of business are you in, Howard?
Right now, it's in the internet business, specifically in the clothing design and sort of web news entertainment business.
Okay, and you're looking for advertising or SEO? Because I'm old school and I view those as two very different things.
Well, I guess maybe basically both, but first and foremost, I guess to put the not the cart before the horse, but the SEO. I want to attract more attention to the actual blog so that I can put forward a legitimate situation for potential, to advertise on the site for others.
Well, I'm an old school girl, and we've had a couple other shows here on Cult of Gracie where we've talked about, I'm a big believer in content. I'm a big believer that what you write about is your search engine candy, because you will never, ever be able to buy, let alone, or think of all the ways that people would be, what they would be searching for to find you. Because in your brief description of your business, I could probably rattle off, and I'm sure AB could too, 50 things that you might be searching for and expect to find your site. There's no way you're going to ever be able to afford to buy all of those phrases and positionings. So the best thing you can do is write content that addresses those issues of the people you want to interest. That's
with
always
frequency.
My first thing. What?
With frequency. You want to do it a lot and you want to do it very often.
I'm sorry, what frequency?
Yeah, that's what she was asking, what frequency. I think it really depends on your audience. How often you would create content or publish content?
Pretty much every day.
Yeah. I think it depends largely on your audience, because you will have some people... Warning. We are not providing sound effects. That is coming from somebody else's phone.
Okay. Well, sound effects are good.
Welcome to Los Angeles, you guys.
I was going to say, somebody thinks we're swearing because there's a big beep in the middle of the conversation. I think it depends on the completely personally on who your target audience is. Because let's say if you're running a professional a site or positioning towards professionals or research-oriented positions, I don't think frequency matters quite as much as the quality of your content. In other words, I'd rather you wrote once a week and had a really kick butt article covering every part of the aspect that you're discussing. If, on the other hand, you're trying to reach a younger, more entertainment-oriented crowd where you want to be giving them a constant stream and they know they have to come every day or they're going to miss something and have it be buried 20 posts down, then you want, then you want to be hitting it several times a day if you're doing a lot of this, look at this, look at that with 100 words.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So then you want to be doing something several times a day, depending on, if you have one blogger or 14 bloggers or authors. But again, it comes down to, your audience. And so when they come in because they found you, whether it's a paid ad somewhere, a link on someone else's sidebar, or found you in, Google or Yahoo, and they come there and they see and they get interested, they want to understand if you're going to be doing this every day, every month, you know, 20 times a day. So they're going to want to know if they should put you in the feed, you know, in their reader right away to know what kind of volume they're going to get from you and if they should be checking you out every day or just, you know, every Monday and get, you know, the stuff from the last week. So
well,
I mean,
that's really, the latter category is where I'm at.
Is writing once a week?
No. Maybe two, anywhere between 3 to 5 posts every day or every other day.
Yeah. And if you're going for an audience that you want to be able to come there every day and get bits of this and that, then that's probably a good thing. I don't know. What do you think, AV?
Tell me a little bit more about your target audience.
It's roughly that, you know, roughly 18 to 35-year-old demographic, and it deals with a sort of cutting-edge comedic humor news info entertainment site.
Would you say it was kind of like The Onion or more like Perez Hilton?
Not quite at those levels. Looking to get at those levels, not quite, though. And that's what I'm really trying to get to, those levels. But right now, I can give you the URL if you'd like.
Sure, go
absolutely
ahead.
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's plug it.
It's www.barbaradiamond.blogspot.com.
Uh huh.
And it's American.
Barbara
Scott
Diamond?
BarbaraDiamond.blogspot.com.
What is the reasoning behind that name?
That's just the URL. The actual name of the site is American Scofflaw, which is a sort of cutting-edge comedic humor news info site.
I would think that one of the first things you want to do is tie those two together. You want to brand a little bit more and have a recognizable domain name.
I see, yes.
That kind
okay.
of that ties into... it doesn't necessarily have to be self-explanatory, but... the last post I wrote on my blog, if you look at it, talks a little bit about domain names, and it points in different directions about what people have said about the importance of your name and in terms of branding and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
take a look at that.
Yeah, well, I think what Avi is saying is there's a habit for people, if they're reading at your blog, to see what is, you know, put on your header, especially if it, you know, it's an image and it says, you know, XYZ. And they remember that. But if they have to be typing in, you know, 1, 2, 3, there's a huge disconnect
for
them.
Okay, yeah. So better off, I'm working towards, I got the domain, and I'm working towards Super3 Bloggerware. So I'm looking towards putting this out as AmericanScofflaw.com.
Okay. And so you want to start your branding there. You want to make your name recognizable so that people start talking about it and can talk about it with ease, and
correct.
It starts
yes.
becoming, the name starts standing for what you're actually all about.
Yes, exactly.
And you said you have multiple authors?
No, right now it's basically just me.
Okay. So this is something we talked about probably about a month ago. A little bit was about the personal branding. Since your site is built upon yourself,
mm-hmm.
you also need to be, I'm not saying that you need to be vetted like a, you know, political candidate here, but people need to know who and what you are a bit, how to keep that focus. So you are, in essence, as the only or primary writer, where the tone and the philosophy and the, you know,
well, here's the thing. As I post the blogs, what I'm really thinking about doing through a combination of two things is increase search engine optimization, but also I'd like to figure out, and this is maybe you could help me on this one as well, is how to actually allow people to submit their posts to the site. So I will have multiple authors you know, posting, you know, sending it through email or whatever, and they will say, well, we want to post this site on American Scoff Law, and I will look at it, and I will, you know, put it on the site.
Okay, so more of an interactive type of situation with your readers. Have you received any feedback from readers so far?
Yes, some. Not a, you know, not a whole lot, but some of them have sent back feedback, yes.
And how long have you been at this?
About 7-8 months.
Excellent. You're past the 3-month hump, which is a good thing.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's like one of those magic numbers where, what they say, a quarter of all bloggers quit within the first 3 months. So.
Yes, I've heard that, yes.
So if you've made it over that, you know, that's a good thing. One of the things I'm going to say is it's not impossible to do something with forms and a script to have someone, you know, have a little form where they can send in their stuff or email you directly. It's not impossible to do that at Blogger. But if you really want something with forms and, like someone, people to be able to register for profiles,
yeah.
you almost have to go to another platform for that. Whether using Blogger or WordPress, it is possible to have multiple authors, but you're not going to have the editorial control over that. In other words, if you sign them on under their Blogger user ID, if you signed, you know, AB up and Gracie up tomorrow, we would be accepted to post on your blog. There would be no control on your behalf.
Oh, I do believe that WordPress does allow for those controls.
I think they do somewhat, but you don't have, I mean, without great hacking, you don't have the same sort of control because you're really using their software for membership. It's not your own, like your own forum where you.
So it should be a separate server, is what you're saying.
A separate server and perhaps even your own, you know, having your own software written to have your own. Because, again, I forget. All right, what software are you using, AV?
Use WordPress.
Yeah. So if you're using your own server and you have your own username, that might fly. But if you're expecting someone to use Blogger, you know, how are they going to tell, you know, I go on and pretend to be AV, you know, use the same handle and that sort of thing. You don't have the same sort of control over those things like profiles. So some of that interactivity of initiating conversations and things like that is going to be, you know, even at WordPress or Blogger with multiple users, they can create their own posts, but you don't have the place where they can start their own conversation.
Well, I mean, could they, I guess what I'm really wondering is, you know, you just, how is it possible to invite people to post onto your site in the first place and then have control over what is being sent to you, and how would it be sent through email, or how would that be done?
Well, it can be done in a number of ways depending on how you want to do it, how much control and how much work you want to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're looking for to not be self-hosted at this point, you could actually employ WordPress. I'm not too familiar with Blogger, but I do know that WordPress, the hosted stuff, you can actually exert control. You can accept users to post. They need to register, and you can moderate their content. You give them different permissions. There's the
give them admin
and be moderated. Yeah, you can moderate what they put in so that they can write something, but it won't go immediately on the site. You get to look at it before you accept that submission.
Okay.
And you can edit their content as well.
How is that actually done? How do you do that?
I would suggest that you check out WordPress because that's the one I'm more familiar with. But I'm not too sure on Blogger. Are you familiar with Blogger, Stacey?
Yeah, Blogger. You are basically where you are right now on Blogspot. You go in under permissions.
Okay.
And then you would have the email address of the person that you want to sign up. So let's say if it was me, you'd use gracie.bissette@gmail.com. You'd send me an invite. I'd accept it.
But I would have to initiate it. Is that how it's done?
Yes. You have to initiate it, and then once they accept, then you set whether or not if they're an admin, which means they can adjust the template, or if they can just post. Blogger does not have the same sort of editorial controls on multiple users that WordPress has, like Avi was talking about, where you can have them basically write something and save it, but in order for it to appear on the site, you would publish it.
Yes.
There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that in Blogger currently. But your main question up front is, and this I think is the technology aside, because you can always find someone pretty crafty with code or hacking ability to help you, publish something. I think the big question here is, why would someone want to write for you? And I don't mean that like you personally, Howard, is a bad guy, but anybody that wants to write nowadays, can go and do so,
right?
Completely for free. So there would need to be a benefit to them doing that, whether it's pay or exposure or the fact that they don't want to have to post every day. And by doing it with a group, there would be, the idea that, some people, more like a co-op. Some people would be into that. But again, there are so many places to do it for free without any control or any opinion on your part. So if they wanted to write, something that you don't agree in or that you don't want to be on your site, they wanted to review a porno and you're totally not cool with that, they can go do that wherever. So for the more control that you want, there should be the greater return for the writer. And I think that's the issue here is what do you want to get out of it? What are you willing to offer for it? And then where do you find those people?
Yes, exactly. That would be the two questions. I mean, I understand the whole concept of, why would they want to write for American Scofflaw, but I'm just trying to wrap my brain around the technology part, how to get, how to allow people to submit their posts for consideration, and at the same time, where do I find such people, or do I find them on my own? But first and foremost, with Blogger, you're saying what, permission?
You go to permissions, and you need their email address.
Permission in where exactly though? Go to what?
If you go into your if you go into your Blogger dashboard.
Yep.
There should be a tab called Permissions. It's pretty far on the right.
Okay.
And then you'll see where you can invite people. I believe it's still called Permissions. Sometimes I revert to old Blogger language instead of new Blogger language, but still you're going to need their email address first. You're going to need to know that you want to be inviting this person. There's still the good old-fashioned way, which is how things were done before blogging software when we all had to create our own HTML, which is to just post in your sidebar, are you interested in, guesting, being a guest here, have a, letter to the editor you want published with your email address, have them email it to you, and you can specify, you can have your own post which outlines how to submit. So if you want it in a document or you want it in the body of the email, you can be all specific about that. And then have them email it to you, and then you get it in your email box, and you decide whether or not this is, coolio. And then one of the things I would include there is that they sign off that, they're giving you permission to post this at your blog and to credit them as, agreed upon. Then you just cut and paste from the email into your blogging software and go. And that
And how would you find such people? You just put it on your blog, I take it.
I was just going to ask you, how are you interacting with the blogosphere, Howard? Are you in any social media?
I'm working on that. I'm basically posting most of the stuff myself. And I am interacting within the sort of social blogospheres through. I'm trying to get into more and more into the social networking. The MySpace, Facebook, Friendster, Bebo, all that stuff.
How's that going?
Pretty good. Sort of one man operation right now. So it's good, but what I'd really like to do is find a more direct way, and I'm finding it through actually. I think this is probably pretty good so far, but I'm looking to expand upon it, is, through Flickr and some of the you know, social photo networking sites where I, you know, post the photos and some posts and leave website address, and people are going to it.
Now, I'm a huge Twitter evangelist. I love Twitter. I live on Twitter. I live by Twitter. Are you on Twitter yet?
Not yet, no.
That would
should
be
I
my
be?
First
I assume I should be. Huh?
You need to be on Twitter. Twitter is probably, if Twitter's how I met Gracie, met in quotes.
Okay.
I've never been connected to so many amazing people in my life until I got on Twitter.
I'm wondering, you know, I'm just sort of navigating my way through all the different networking sites. Like Twitter differentiates itself from, let's say, MySpace in what way?
Okay, MySpace is dirty, 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 and I hate it, so I have to say that. the best thing about Twitter, because I resisted Twitter for a long time, because I had tried the MySpace and checked out the Facebook and we did Friendster way, way back in the day, you know, and because a bunch of friends went there and said, you have to come here, that's the only way you're going to reach me. So I went over there and I hated it. All of them. I hate them all for varying reasons. We talked about this a few shows ago, but the basic thing is that MySpace is there. Everybody walks in, like, imagine everybody you know in your town getting up and simultaneously walking into Walmart and yelling, hey, look at me, at the same time. No one's listening to anybody. It's obnoxiously loud. Things are flashing. It's a nightmare. Facebook is a closed community. Ideally, the only way you're really going to meet people and know that you want to meet them is when you already know of them in order to be a friend. Because the way Facebook really works is if I'm searching around for, you know, by a search term or something, and I would have seen AV's profile, I would have only seen a few lines. I wouldn't have known much about her until she said yes, she's agreed to meet me. But how do I know I want to meet her or I am her friend or whatever until I see her whole profile? And I can't do that until we're already friends. So it's sort of not, to me, the most natural way to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of almost like knocking on doors and going, oops, wrong one. You know, it's kind of backwards. Twitter, the coolest thing about Twitter is you only have 140 characters in which to make your statement. For someone like me, it is horribly painful to be that concise. But the good side of that is, because there are days AV is on there and I think, this girl doesn't eat, this girl doesn't sleep, she doesn't brush her teeth, she doesn't do anything. Because she types and sends at a frequency with which amazes me. And at the same time, because it's only 140 characters, she is not slamming me. I only, you know, I am not getting bombarded or my whole page isn't just her. And at the same time, too, I don't get a message for every single one of those. It's when I log in and go look at my homepage or go to her page to catch up that I get it all. So you don't get, like, at these other places where you get these bulleted and these mass messages and invites to whatever and groups to join there's none of that. So it's a really nice, containable way to scan and keep in touch with, like, all of your friends and old friends and family.
Here's a question. Within the social networking, and I know of Twitter, obviously, but one thing I just, with the whole social networking situation, and I guess I would include Twitter, is how that really correlates to the blogosphere. Because people, it seems to me, who will go into the social networking, like you said, they're going to say, here I am, look at me. But it's really not, I don't know what it is. I mean, I know what it is, but I mean, it's one of these situations where how are you going to, I guess what I'm wondering is, people who engage in social networking, are they going to engage in a serious sort of entertainment, information-oriented blog? Are they going to be interested, and are they really, maybe they are, I don't know.
I'll let AV give her thoughts first, and then I'll give you some of mine.
In terms of, I have found that the majority of readers that I have cultivated in the past couple of months for my blog, if you know, my blog is pretty recent. I recently moved to self-hosted. It's it's all through Twitter, because you're creating basically an identity in these spurts of 140 characters, so it's extremely easy to digest for people, and they can reach out to you much easier. And you, one of the things that I talk about when I'm talking about how to use Twitter for the purpose of business and marketing is you want to show basically that that you are in the industry, and you, in whatever industry you are, and that you actually know what you're talking about. You want to integrate yourself in the community and become part of the conversation and start your own conversation.
And I think what scares people is when you first join, you know, feel free to follow AV and I, but when you first join, you don't necessarily know, you know, you're talking kind of to yourself almost. You remember back when you first started blogging and you wrote something and you felt really accomplished and you said this and it was great and you had, you know, sweated it out and then it sat there and no one said anything and you just about wanted to cry because you were like, you just felt like you went up and performed on stage and no, it wasn't even your mom there to clap for you. It was very sad.
Yeah.
And when you join a social network, I think there's that same sort of starting mentality of you don't know who you're talking to or who's listening necessarily, or if they care or not. And I always view all social networks, and blogging is social networking. It's because we're all LinkedIn and can comment on one another, no matter what interface we use, unless we're idiots and close off options for people and make them belong to one network or another. But it's sort of, I always compare it to when you go to a restaurant and you're standing in the lobby and you don't know anybody except for maybe, you know, your wife that you came with. And you hear the couple next to you saying something about, talking to their friends, saying something like, you know, we're only going to be here for 3 days. I've been here, you know, I don't know where a good Chinese restaurant is, but I really need to have some Chinese food. If you know where good Chinese food is in your town, wouldn't you naturally say, hey, I don't mean to interrupt, but I heard you asking about a good Chinese restaurant. You need to go to, you know, Ling Chu's on 5th. You would say that, right? That's a very human reaction. You wouldn't walk over when you heard her talking about the Chinese restaurant and go, hey, want to buy my book? I'll autograph a copy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way on the Internet, no matter whether you're using, you know, MySpace or Twitter or blogging software. It's the same idea that...
I guess what I'm wondering is also... I know I'm working my way through the social networking situation. So you would suggest Twitter over all the rest, I guess.
Yeah, I would use Twitter. And that's
how I would definitely
other
suggest
people.
Twitter.
Okay. Here's
and you
another
can
question.
Search for and you would search for people to follow, which is like friend, that are in areas that naturally interest you. So let's say if your blog is about, you know, economics, then you're going to search for that word and you're going to search for people who are talking about that and join their conversations. So when they say, you know, what I think of this bailout is X, Y, and Z, and you have an honest thought or opinion or set of experiences about that, respond to that and participate in that conversation naturally, then most people are going to respect you and follow you back. And that's how you're going to end up, you know, that's how AV and I met is, you know, she was talking about something. I piped in, you know, and the next thing you know, you're talking. So
well,
it's really not any different.
Can you checked out American Scofflaw? Are you logged into that?
I'm not, no, because I'm running the switchboard.
Okay.
And I don't even know if AV is your computer. Are you here?
Yeah, I am. You want me to look something up?
Yeah, just if you log into the actual URL, American Scofflaw URL, barbaradiamond.blogspot.com.
While she's typing, I'm just going to remind everybody that you are listening to Cult of Gracie Radio, broadcasting on XXBN via the Blog Talk Radio and switchboard. Myself is Gracie Bissett. I'm broadcasting from Fargo, North Dakota. And AV Flox is our guest tonight, and she is in the occasionally car noise filled Los Angeles.
Occasionally car filled. That is Los Angeles in a nutshell. Okay, I am on your website.
Okay. So you get a sense of it. It's a sort of deviant comedic humor type of situation. News, information, entertainment with cutting edge humor.
I see. And you are on Ning, I see.
Also Ning, yes.
How is that working out for you? Do you find a lot of people on that network?
Pretty good, but again, still trying to wrap around the whole social networking situation to build a sort of client base so it gets to the main American Scoff Law, which probably will be coming on in, you know, March when I get the whole self-server going up. So it'll be just AmericanScoffLaw.com.
Uh-huh. I think that what Gracie was saying basically about finding people on social networks, the cool thing about Twitter is that Twitter has a search engine now.
Mm-hmm.
You go to search.twitter.com and you can actually look for some keywords and find people that are talking about these things, you know, whether it's humor or news, or, you know, check out your competition. You said you might want to be like The Onion. If you look at what users are saying about The Onion, you can kind of get an idea about who's interested and what they're saying. I find Twitter search is probably one of the best ways that I have to find people that are into the same things I'm into.
Okay, and what is the search engine URL again?
That is search.twitter.com.
Okay.
And it searches specifically for stuff going on that people are saying on Twitter.
Okay.
So let's say if you were interested in writing about politics, you would put in, you know, a president-elect or a politician's names, and then you would see what people are saying about that. And if you notice the same regular, you know, same sort of user IDs coming up over and over again, you know that those people are interested in that topic, and you might want to go read out more about them and see where they hang out, what else they're talking about.
Okay. Another question would be, what about search engine directories and, you know, search blog directories?
Alt-Top is pretty good. I use Alt-Top a lot for finding other blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Alt-Top is alttop.com. It's
I'm on that. I think if you scroll down, you'll see down at the end of the blog, it's there.
Okay. In what category? Are you... interest, culture?
Humor.
Humor. Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good place to get started.
But I also think the most important thing to focus on is what you're offering content-wise.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter, you know, you can bring 40,000 people to your website in one afternoon, and if there's nothing really there to engage them, it doesn't matter. So
would you say the content needs to be more precise, specific-oriented, niche-oriented, or general?
It depends on who you're going after, your target market. You know, one of the things with blogs, with people wanting to monetize blogs, is it upsets some of the old core, old school bloggers. Blogs really were about a way for you to kind of put out your own digital zine, which means people had something to say. They were fascinated in something as strangely niche-specific or, you know, as you know, weird as you, who you never would have thought anybody would be interested in that, let alone 100 people talking about it, or something as, you know, commonplace as, you know, your day. And now when people want to monetize, they're, you know, they're sort of thinking about, well, what should I write about that other people want to hear or talk about? And I think that those sorts of things become quite transparent when you decide to do what is popular or what you perceive will be popular. There's sort of a disingenuous voice to it that never quite clicks. So you should think about what it is that you know, what you like, and if you've been working on this like 7 months already, you know it's a lot of work to keep talking about whatever, and let alone, you know, doing the social networking thing and finding new people to talk with. If you don't like what that area is, you know, you're not going to last for long anyway. So I always think you should, you know, write about what you know or what you want to know. You know, if you want to become a student of politics, then use a blog as a reason to push yourself to investigate and write about it. and do that. And then from that, you will be able to find out, you know, I'm writing about X, and this would appeal to. And then from there, you get your target market. And from there, you kind of establish if you want to grow, if that means, you know, longer, more in-depth posts or more frequent posts. That would be my 2 cents.
All right, sounds very good. All right, well, thank you. I'll check in once again at a later point. I'm thinking also about developing America's Golf Law Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio is fun and it's free. There are some occasional issues with the switchboard as they're growing pretty fast. I think they're having some server issues, but overall, knock on wood, so it doesn't drop out now. Overall, I think it's been good, but you still have to do your promotion to it. You know, in order for people to know that you have the show there, they're either going to have to know of you and your blog to come in from it, or you're going to have to work like heck to promote yourself from inside it. And that is sort of a social networking on its own because there are registered users that you can meet and whatever. But you don't want to be going to 150, hey, come listen to my show. I mean, that's just, you know, spam. So it becomes extra work when you do those things. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, find your voice, what you want to do, and then see where that fits in.
All right. And, Gracie, you're in North Dakota?
Yes, I am. I'm freezing my butt off.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Avi?
Yes?
Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, Avi.
Avi?
Avi, A-V.
Okay, Avi, and you're in L.A.?
Yes.
And it's warm out there?
It is very nice.
Oh, good, because I'm
you.
I'm actually wearing a dress.
the reason I say it is because I'm calling in from Boston. And
ooh, you're freezing, too.
That's
We're
what I mean.
Spanning the states.
It's, so North. What is it like in North Dakota right now, 30, 25 degrees Fahrenheit?
Probably. I'm not going to go look. Don't make me go look.
All right. Well, that's about what it is in Boston, roughly. So.
We had snow like a month ago already.
Well, we're going to get snow probably in the next week or so. And in L.A., it's what, 75? No, maybe 70 degrees, A.V.?
I have no idea, but it's very pleasant.
Yes, well, that's the key, warmth. I don't know how you feel about it, Gracie, but I like warmth, and even though I'm up in Boston, I'm always looking at this time of year to look to a warmer climate. So,
amen.
I mean, you know, it could be Florida, could be further south all the way down into maybe, one of the Central American countries, which are filling up with Americans, Belize and Costa Rica and, you know, those places. Somewhere warm. But anyway, I was just curious about the temperature up in North Dakota and L.A., Los Angeles, and up here in Boston. It's cold.
Well, thanks for calling, Howard, and good luck.
All right. Thanks, ladies. Good night.
Bye-bye. How you
feeling? Yes, I am here. I'm surprised.
Well,
I thought we were going to be talking about sex tonight.
Well, we'll have to have you come back.
We definitely will.
What do you think of that, and I'm not picking on Howard here alone, but that is a common, I don't know, misnomer, myth that, you know, you're going to blog and you're going to sell advertising space. You're going to, you know, or you're going to start a website and you're going to make money. What are your thoughts on that besides ha, ha, ha? How do you think someone should approach it?
I think it's really something that you have to take with a lot of patience. You are not going to make $1 million overnight. You're not even going to get advertisers overnight, or readers for that matter. It's something that you actually have to work really hard at, and a lot of people that go into internet business think that it's going to be, you know, this magical gold mine, and they don't realize that you are actually going to be putting in a lot of work. You know, I think that for Howard to get started, for anybody to get started, you should pick out Darren Rose's book, Pro Blogger, which I plug everywhere. Just for anybody that's just getting started, I think it's probably the best bet, because he talks a lot about the misconceptions of, you know, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be fabulous. It's going to be awesome. And it's not. It's actually a lot of hard work. Especially if you're thinking about it being your primary source of income, I think you've really got to take it one step at a time.
Yeah, one of the things that always strikes me is that on one hand, you have to have your own voice and be unique because, you know, for the most part, even the smallest, tiniest niche has, you know, 1,000 people talking about it. So you have to be somehow special and unique, either in how you say it or display it, whatever, in order to have people interested in you as opposed to the other 999 people talking about it. But on the other hand, you have to remember that none of us is really that special. We all kind of behave the same way. And so when you go to websites, the reasons that you discount them and don't go back or don't bookmark them or don't leave a comment are all reasons, you know, always your own blog or your own website is being evaluated. So mm-hmm. I think sometimes people aren't honest enough with themselves about that. You know, I mean, it's hard for you to say you're fascinating. You know, you can't go, wow, I love reading me today. But you know what I'm saying is that you have to go there and go, is there anything really here that couldn't be found at a bunch of other places that either does it, you know, first or better? And I don't think enough people are very honest with themselves about that.
I agree. And you have to find the right angle, too. We have a crazy little dog here that wants some attention.
So how long have you kind of have to find your
audience. You do definitely have to find, I guess, one of the things that you read about a lot is that niche blogs are the easier blogs to maintain. When your blog is not all over the board, when you're actually focused on a topic, it's a lot easier to sell it to an audience because a lot of people don't want to come to a blog and kind of have a mixed bag. You know, is it going to be politics or is it going to be celebrities or is it going to be real news? What is it going to be? So there has to be, I think, a unifying component for it to be, for you to be able to actually hold the attention of an audience. The people on the internet don't really have a very big attention span. I think that's why Twitter is so popular. So you have to be unique and you have to be engaging and you have to be consistent. I think that's probably one of the most important things.
Yeah, and I think along those lines is that idea of, you know, some sites are always going to beat me no matter what. Me, I am being adult me or mainstream me, some sites are always going to beat me, you know. It's like, you know, I'm running around with my battery-operated tape recorder and I don't have batteries, whereas they've got the big mobilized truck and the video guy, you know what I mean? People are always going to beat me to certain things. I don't try to pretend or fool anyone that I'm going to be the first, but I always talk about things like me. And I think that's the thing is you can't say what do people want to hear because I think that tone comes out. You know, I mean, how many times have you read a blog where you go, this person is just trying way too hard?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think that can definitely be a turnoff.
And it doesn't matter to me if it's a big general area like news, that's a huge umbrella word or label. You can still make it your own because of your slant on it, because you're talking about it from the point of view of a special needs mom, or you're talking about it from the point of view of, you know, coming to this country from someplace else and what you're, you know, how you interpret this differently. There's always something that's uniquely you that you can put into it. If you take that out, you know, that's when you sort of lose what's uniquely you that makes your site different to read than, you know, my site.
Right, but you can use basic understanding of what your readers are saying or what people are looking at to shape the direction that you go.
Oh yeah, because we're
all experimenting with that a lot on my own blog. I get a lot of responses to certain entries and a lot of reblogs and bookmarks, and I know that the people that are reading my blog are very interested in these things. Without compromising my own perspective or voice, I think you can do a lot to shape where you want to go using that, but you can't let it control you completely.
No, I think there's a difference there because that's conversing. So if if I write a dog post on my dog or my cat, and I don't really think that much of it, I'm not intending to write a doggy blog, but I get 13 comments, in the course of that conversation, replying to those comments, I'm probably going to naturally think of, oh, and another thing. So it's not really pandering it because it's based on that interest. You know, if you see a lot of people coming in from search engines on that, you know it's a very popular topic. So then that you're going to think about it again somehow. What I'm talking about is when you sit down before you ever even write anything and you go, I'm going to be a popular blogger covering news, that's pretty hard to do.
Yes. Yes, it is a pretty big and very competitive niche to go into, for sure.
Yeah. So we only have like 5 minutes left.
Oh.
I know, time flies with Howard.
It does.
So I one of the things I wanted to mention tonight was about, I know that you aren't really a quote-unquote sex blogger, but you do cover adult stuff at your blog, and I know that you've kind of taken some hits for that.
I have, yes, I have. My Twitter's it can be pretty racy sometimes, and I've had an incredible amount of people that find my Twitter and join me because looking up anal sex on Twitter search. You know, and I did write a post at some point on my blog about the Lolita issue of this literary smut magazine that I write for in Canada called Black Heart, and there was some drama going on there with my editor and a person who claimed to be Dmitry Nabokov. We are still not certain whether that was actually him or not. But I wrote about it in my blog, and I get a lot of hits for, you know, Lolita, Nabokov. So it's interesting. It's been interesting. I don't blog about sex as much as I used to. I did once, at one point when I first started back in the early noughties. The author Catherine Valente has a really funny quote about it when she was reading my blog, and she said, so she drips sex like a broken faucet in the Bronx. So she has an ego the size of an Incredible Hulk on a bad day. Truth be told, an age feels for us all of the same meat that Madonna does. We like to have a beautiful whore tell us what's what, preferably with a leather heel to our jugular. And that basically summarized the exchange. I think my blogging has matured a little bit. I've moved past the oversharing. I miss it sometimes.
Well, and I just wondered if you had that work against you when you tried to do social networking. Like, I know that, you know, Sex Kitten obviously was about sex. That's from the get-go, we were going to talk about sex. But that wasn't the only thing we're going to talk about. And I always get the double things, you know. You're not sexy. You don't have enough sex. You don't have any nude pictures to join this listing or for me to link to you on my blog roll. And then I hear from other people, oh, my gosh, you know, we can't link to you because you have the word vagina in your blog, you know. So we get it from both sides that we're not sexy enough because we're not just there taking nude pictures of ourselves. At the same time, we're, you know, scaring the heck out of mainstreamers. So I think that sex is one of those weird things where it's like, you know, you can't please anybody. It's always too much and it's always too little. No?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I always, whenever I do any kind of work for anybody, when it's not ghost blogging, I always have to put a disclaimer. You know, back when I was working in corporate America, I had to tell my boss, you know, full disclosure, this book might be coming out and this person might be writing about our relationship. And I used to write about my sex life on the internet. And, you know, so it can be kind of shocking, can be weird, but I've actually never had a problem with that. I think if you know me, I am such a sexual person, you just kind of expect that to always be there in the background. And fortunately, if you're a writer, you get cut a lot of slack, so it's a little bit different. But I have friends who are writers who do have trouble with that because, you know, they do have to have this secret life. Like the show that you had with Callie Sims, where you're talking about how she basically has to have this double life.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because you can't write about sex
yep.
and be honest about yourself
and be in the industries where you've chosen to be because people don't take you seriously, and that's just rough. I don't know that I would be able to do that.
I know some people who write erotic romance, you know, which is, it's explicit, but it's, you know, accepted form of literature to many people, and quite a big seller. And they've lost children in court cases. They've been hounded by their communities. And it's a very strange thing where, you know, even as writers, you cross into that area. I mean, no one goes, you know, it's funny because, you know, most people wouldn't have a problem living next to Stephen King. But God forbid the sex writer moves in next door, you know. I'd much rather look through the shades at the other house and wonder who's getting laid than who's getting flayed by Stephen King's, you know, knife-wielding maniac, right? But strange.
The public's reaction is really incredible. It blows my mind. And, you know, a lot of foreigners have this idea that Americans are very sexual because of the kind of movies that come out of Hollywood, but actually I don't think I've ever been in a country where people mourn sexuality so much as I have in this country.
Yeah, it's just, we've got a strange double standard. We'll have to have you come on and talk to us about that sometime because that's a a complicated, like, 3-hour show just on its own. I have a saying, everybody poos, everybody screws, get over it. And Americans just don't seem to understand that.
I think we should have a threesome with Callie.
Oh, we should probably invite Amber Ray in, too. Have a foursome,
yes.
You know.
Yes, foursome.
She could pole dance. She could pole dance for us, too. That'd be great radio, wouldn't it?
Oh. I am so jealous of her pole dancing. She promised she was going to take me somewhere if I ever dropped by her town. I'm holding her to that.
I would fall down. I've been on the stage. I've held on to it, but I have not dared to clamber on that thing. That is just an accident.
You know, I did dance for a while. I called it research. I don't know what it was. I'm not very coordinated. I always say that I have too much limb and not enough brain. But, you know, when you're naked, it doesn't really matter what you're doing.
Or if they have enough beer. I mean, I've found that you can be completely dressed, and if they have enough beer, they're looking at you naked anyway. So, you know, which explains why sometimes conversations with men seem to be very disjointed and like you're each having your own. But you know, they're sort of having their own experience that is not known by the rest of us. Poor dears.
I actually do envy that. If that is the case, I am very, very envious indeed.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to mention once again to everyone listening, whether live or to the podcast, that your website again is, and I have to practice this, slow down, omgomfg.com.
How many people can scream out their domain names during sex? I'm telling you.
But do you actually say OMG during sex? Or don't you say, oh, my God?
I've started to say OMG, OMG, OMFG.com.
Seriously? That is a cry for help.
That's
me. When you can actually stop and put things into, you know, the letter form instead of saying it, that is a whole change in culture and language. That is different. Well, thanks so much for being on. I will have to email you and get a hold of you to have you come back.
Yes, do. I would love to also talk about this book project. I'd like to get your listeners to pitch in.
Yes, I would like that too. I will get in touch with you before this holiday, and hopefully in between the two holidays we can get you back on.
That sounds fabulous.
In between Thanksgiving and Christmas somewhere. We'll see if we can squeak you in.
Perfect.
All right. Well,
I look forward to it, darling.
You have an excellent Thanksgiving, and all of you listeners as well. And we will say good night.
Ciao.
Good night, AV. Good night, all listeners. Thanks for listening on XXBN. Good night. That was a-